Our first New Testament reading this morning comes from Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 40, and may be found in your pew Bible on page 127. It's entitled Philip and the Ethiopian Eunuch. When an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the wilderness road." So he got up and went, and now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of the entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to the chariot and join him." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or someone else?" And then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Our second reading this morning comes from John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 8. It may be found in your pew Bible on page 109. It is entitled, "Jesus, the True Vine." "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes, to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's a little early for things to be bearing fruit in the vines and the gardens, because what's happening right now? There's a lot of planting going on, a lot of digging, a lot of rototilling. There's a lot of pollen, a lot of things out there in life. But John, in his writing, in the Gospel, is telling us what Jesus told them. Just as last week it was the Good Shepherd, when he said, "I am the Good Shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they listen." Now those are pivotal points in our understanding of who Jesus is, because we get that from John. We The Gospel of John is not a chronological listing of when things happen. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We have the synoptics that tell us when Jesus did this, when Jesus said that, when Jesus went here, so on and so forth. Now, that's not to say that those things aren't important, because it gives us a sequence, it gives us a framework to understand what it is that Jesus is doing and the messages that Jesus gives us. Terry asked me this morning, how do we know that Jesus was 33 years old? How do we know that? Well, first off, we don't have anything written on a granite piece of tablet. We don't have anything written down in papers, but we know historically things happened at different times because the story, interwoven in the story, is those things that archaeologists and people who do history have been able to determine and find. They know about Herod the Great. They know about Pontius Pilate. They know when he was in Jerusalem. They know a lot of those things. But that's a chronology. That's a sequence. That's a calendar. That's a framework upon which Jesus is presenting the message that God sent him to deliver. We're almost at the end of Easter time. But just as relevant each and every day is he is risen. And he's risen, and because he's risen, the Father has sent the Holy Spirit to be here with us so that the Holy Spirit can do what? Surround us and be in all the people around us? No. That the Holy Spirit abide in us, so that we have the Holy Spirit with us, in us. The Scriptures, just as he did with the shepherd and the sheep, people understood that. So do the people who have been working in vineyards understand when Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Well, you know the vine, and you know there are branches and leaves and fruit off that vine. And sometimes they're grapes. And you can do great things with grapes. That's fruit. But each and every one of us, just as Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. Now, we're going to bear fruit. Well, what kind of fruit should we bear? And if there's someone, in this case, the Father is the vine grower is going to do what? Bob and Betty Ann have a garden that's to go over and just receive all kinds of good stuff out of. But that garden doesn't happen if somebody's not there tending it. If someone's not there tending it, it's always Betty Ann who's doing it, right? Just looked like he was pondering deep in thought. But it doesn't happen without... Uh-oh, he's going to say something. The vine doesn't produce great fruit if it's not tended. Listen to how Jesus talks about this. The vine grower, Jesus, he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. That tells us two things. One, that we're in the vine, God, Jesus, we're to bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, what happens? Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit, but he prunes those branches that don't bear fruit. What happens to the fruit that doesn't bear fruit? It's cut off, taken off, and burned. Now that's... It might seem cruel, but if our purpose, if the purpose that God has for our lives is to bear fruit, and we don't bear fruit through our ignorance, through our mindlessness, through our disobedience, through our willfulness, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. So if you're bearing fruit, he's going to prune you a little bit anyway. Why? So that you'll bear more fruit. So, wait a minute. Why am I having all these difficulties? Why am I having all these troubles? Why is the Lord pruning me? Because he wants me to bear more fruit. He also says, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What does that tell me? Without being in the Word, that's abiding in Jesus. When we're in the Word, we're abiding in Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Everybody understands that, right? John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God, and nothing was created without Him. And the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. So we know that the Word is Jesus. And we should abide in His Word. And if we abide in His Word, then His Word abides in us. When we look at this, he's talked about in verse 6, whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like the branches and withers, and such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. He urges them again in verse 7 and 8. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, and you will bear much fruit and become my disciples. So what are we told here? What is John relating to us that Jesus had taught his disciples and those that were there that time? That we, apart from Christ, are what? Going to fail. We're going to fail. If we're left to our own devices, if we are doing everything on our own, there's a good chance that we're going to encounter something that we don't have the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, the power to get through. Absent being in the vine, absent being in the Word of God, how can we survive? How can we flourish? Jesus, last week in the passages, Jesus came so that we would have life. Is that what he said? Fran wasn't here, but the rest of you were. Oh, Fran, you were here last Sunday. Maybe I wasn't here. But what does Jesus say? I come that you might have life. And have it what? What do you mean by abundant life? Isn't that just scraping by, getting by? That's the only promise we have? No. Jesus came that we might have life abundantly. What does that mean? So that we show up on a Sunday night and we listen to whispers of the Passion. And we have this blessing. A life abundant is when we see those grandkids. They don't all have to be named Justice, but it's nice to see them. Or Ella, or Emma. Or Vaughn, or Allison, or Sydney, or Sierra. But isn't it awesome when you get to see them? It doesn't have to be at a beach either. Evelyn is going to be a new niece. Awesome. That's having life abundantly. That's having things that make life more than just the passage of time, more than just being in a position, being in a location, and going through the routine things that we do. We wake up, we drink a cup of coffee or tea or orange juice or water, and we go off into the world and we work. Or we go to school. But we can do it with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the key here is not that we are doing these things alone, but Jesus is abiding in us. He's there. He's beside us. And not just beside you, He's in you. Greater is He that is in me than that which is in the world. Promises galore. Jesus, in His promises, He blesses us with His presence. And if we abide in His Word, then He abides in us. And if we do that, there is nothing that we can't do in this world. There is nothing that we cannot face. There is nothing that we can't overcome. There is no reason for us not to have peace. And there's certainly no reason to not bear good fruit. Shalom.